You're listening to Gamer Escape Radio's coverage of E3 2011. We have a couple of members of our Gamer Escape staff out at E3, and we're going to bring some of them to talk to us now. We've got Ganiman, FusionX, and Gahu all out at E3. So, guys, tell me, what have you seen at the Square Enix booth?
They had new figurines that they're coming out with. We did see games, don't worry. But we saw there was some new Metal Gear Solid play arts. There was some other Halo. They're doing a new set of Halo play arts.
Wow.
They had a Ryu play art from like Street Fighter.
No kidding.
And then they had three Dissidia play arts Kai figurines. They had Gabranth, Cloud, and Squall, which looked pretty badass.
I have to imagine. The Square Enix's play arts have always been very detailed. You know, right up there now I'm blanking on the guy's name, McFarlane Toys. Right up there with those kind of intricate designs to their play arts. That's and that's why in the end the price point on them ends up being so high. Was there any feel on any of the pricing for that merchandise, or just showing off the prototypes there?
They're kind of like HQ Play Arts. Those were, I think, MSRP of like $50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of them were about $50.
That's not bad. When you compare that to like a $300 Shadow Lord statue, that's not terrible.
No, that was only $200.
Sorry. Excuse me for my over exaggeration.
the game they had at their booth were Wakfu, which we've been playing for a little while.
Yeah, so. that we did have a giveaway for beta keys for Wakfu earlier in the month, giving away 250 of those. So, yeah, I would say that a portion of our viewers really have a pretty good idea of what to expect with that game.
It looked like they were trying to demo their games on the different platforms that they play on. So Wakfu had PC and Mac.
Oh, okay. And interestingly enough, actually, that also supports Linux play as well.
Yeah, I asked about that, and they were kind of like, yeah, well, you know, you can't really put Linux on the show floor at E3, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, of course. It might be a little bit taboo there.
It had, we saw Final Fantasy 13-2. We had a little private demo in the back room for that, and it's also on their floor. The demo that we saw in the back was pretty much the playable demo that's on the floor, but then they also showed us something that's not shown to the public.
Oh!
Team 2, and it was they demoed it for on Xbox and PS3, and when they switched over to the PS3 demo, they had Lightning, which I think was earlier in the game than the demo that's on the floor, so it's kind of like something that you would see sooner in the game, but they haven't revealed to the public yet. And it looked like Lightning wearing some Odin armor and riding Odin and fighting Bahamut, like in this kind
chaos,
of chase scene.
Chaos Bahamut.
Yeah.
I took notes. It's funny because when 13-2 was announced, part of me was like, oh no, it's like 10-2 all over again. But part of me is like, well, they did come out and they said that, you know, they did have unused content.
Yeah.
but seeing this clip, it's feeling more like 10-2 because you're fighting like these darker like summon kind of things.
It looked like a lot of the same stuff built on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have if you're in a 2-person party in 13, you can have up to 3 people in a party. So it looks like if you're in a 2-person party, you actually fill that third spot with mobs that you like kind of collect somehow, and they fight
Pokemans
with you.
Pretty much, yeah. You get now with 13. Before, when you would kind of like start combat, you pretty much just run up to the mob, or maybe if you were lucky, you could sneak up behind them. This time they got something they're calling the Mog Clock. Which
feral system? I think that's what they call it.
No, that was something else. But it's like this little kind of gauge that appears when you're near an enemy, and it it makes it a little more visible to, you know, if you're going to kind of get the jump on them.
Right.
And you can...
To get the preemptive strike.
And you could try to avoid them altogether that way, too, now. But then, depending on... I think it was because they did something special with that. When they engaged certain enemies, that's how they got them into the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Somehow when you would see the loot at the end, or whatever they call it, you would see which mobs you have acquired.
Oh!
And in the demo, they only got three, so I don't know... Like how many different
those,
kinds
those
you can
swap
get
out too, depending on the paradigm setup you have. Like they had a flan, but that was only like the Ravager class. But if you switched your paradigm setup to where you had a commando slot in that
it would be like
mob
a
spot, it was a behemoth.
Right. Huh.
For different abilities that you can do, depending on the monster was out, those were the feral links that we saw.
Right.
The one that we saw was Hundred Fists.
And the other thing they've added to it is like the cinematic
actions.
Yeah, cinematic
which is
actions.
Pretty much adding QTE into the middle of fights.
Oh, okay, great.
You know, to blend cinematic with gameplay.
They seem to stress that they're trying to blur the line between cutscenes and gameplay.
Okay.
And that's what that seems to try and achieve.
So it does sound like just essentially quick time sequences.
Yeah. It's pretty much something else to do in a battle besides pressing X.
Oh, then,
and they had the little puzzle.
The puzzle, right. Another thing that they had was you can be pulled into this like vortex.
It's or another
something.
It's they're playing
or like another reality.
Alternate reality kind of things. There was
right. To escape this like other reality or vortex or whatever they called it, you had to solve this series of simple puzzles or what we saw was simple.
Yeah,
I'm sure they get harder as you go along in the game, but it was a new element to the game which helps to break it up a little bit, so you're not just mashing X the whole time.
Yeah, because you know battle wise in 13, it just seemed like again a lot of X mashing. And that's really all that that would end up happening, and so it's nice to hear that they were trying to go back and address the core concepts of the gameplay. Although I understand that the auto attack feature is still a major part of the battle system here, that they haven't treaded too far from what Final Fantasy XIII established with its battle system.
It's mostly recycled material, it looks like, but. If they've built on top of it, so it's probably plays a little bit better than the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. And all right, get ready for this, right? Everyone listening, right? We're talking about a Final Fantasy game. In this game, you will be able to jump at will.
Oh, there's jumping, yes.
Wow. I think that is the first time that a jump command has ever been in a Final Fantasy game.
And there's a really annoying, odd-looking Moogle that follows you around and is... it's in the demo that we saw, too, there's two playable characters in your party, Sarah, which is Lightning's sister from the first one, and a new character, Null. And apparently the Moogle turns into weapons for Sarah to use.
and somehow you can consult the Moogle, because there's times where you can, like...
That was the
you
other
can take
thing
different
that
courses of action,
yeah.
And you can, like, ask the Moogle what you think the Moogle should do, or what...
In the demo, you're fighting, like, this big kind of golem guy called Atlas, and he can, like, move between the realities or the dimensions or whatever.
Yeah.
There's this one point where, you know, figure, okay, you know, he's popped up over here, but something else popped up over here, so what do you want to do? And you can pick, it branches off, you can either go and fight him now, and they did that in the demo and they died. then they went back and they did this other thing, and that's where they went into that temporal rift, and they had to do that puzzle thing, and then you got out and triggered something, and that weakened Atlas, so you went back and you fought him and you beat him.
But the graphics and the gameplay are very... I mean, if you played the first one and you liked it, you'll probably really like the second one.
Oh, that's that. I guess that's good. Although, you know, it does. I suppose for gamers like me that got a hold of Final Fantasy 13 and were a touch bit disappointed that it doesn't go back and try to toy with the formula or retool the formula to make it appeal to someone like me. But I guess that's all right.
So. Add to it though. So, I mean, it's not the same thing. There are new things. You know, we talked about those cinematic actions. Those can also do different things. One we saw buff the party, gave a couple buffs. And obviously, you know, if you're doing crazy kind
of... What do you call it when you hit the 100%?
Stagger.
Yeah. Basically, it's still like, you know, trying to stagger the mob and
the
switch paradigm
stagger,
and then crush it when you stagger.
Yeah, but with these action sequences, you know, sometimes you might get buffs or you might do like a crazy amount of damage.
And there was also the technique where the mob has that bar at the bottom. You can activate when that hit 100% also.
That was for the feral link, right?
Oh, that
was it?
Maybe.
I might have missed that. There was a lot going on in there. Moogles can help you... The Moogle was so weird because it sounded like the guy mentioned it like it was in the first 13 game, but I don't remember a Moogle.
I don't either. I only played through about half of it. So, if there's one that comes along towards the end, I wouldn't know about it.
He said it was more active.
Yeah, but
it turned into a boat.
The Moogle, you can like find hidden treasures, I guess, too. Like there's just kind of the little... They weren't even treasure chests. They were like flowing balls that had stuff in it. There's some that are hidden.
That's what they are in the first one, too. The Moogle will... What the Moogle will do is it will reveal treasure chests from other realities.
Yeah, there you go. And then there's also what they're calling live trigger events, which are pretty much... It's like a scripted cutscene, but that you can walk around in. You know, like, you could kind of probably compare it to, like, any, like, big, like, FPS.
Right.
Like, you'll be walking through something, and it's like, okay, at this point, this plane comes in and blows up this building, but you can still move around and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it kind of branches off with the paths that we talked about, like, the optional content. Like, okay, you can go over here and fight the dude now, or you can try and weaken him over here. And they're getting more detailed with the maps, too, in-game now, too. So after you have that option show up, one of the things we saw on screen, like you could like talk to party members or something about what you should do, and then you pick the course of action you want to take, and then on the map it'll show you, okay, if you want to just fight him, he's over here. If you want to do this other route, you go over here. So that was kind of cool.
Let's talk about some of the other titles that you saw out at the Square Enix booth this year. One of the ones that I'm really anxious to hear about is Deus Ex. What did you see in terms of the new Deus Ex game?
We got to play a little bit.
All three of us tried that one.
Your impressions, what did you think?
They're not saying it's an FPS. That being said, the controls felt very odd not being a standard FPS setup for me.
That might be a little bit different. I imagine on the PC it's going to play like any other FPS.
Yeah.
It did have a PC. One other booth, not the Square Enix booth.
It was over
the
by
NVIDIA
the
NVIDIA booth, I think, or the AMD booth.
It was
booth.
Over by the AMD booth. It may not have been AMD.
They had it in 3D on the PC, so there will be a 3D build for PC, I think.
Very cool.
But it plays like a first-person shooter. There's a little bit more decision-making going on, where you can decide to be stealthy. You can decide, you know, you can go guns blazing.
Your character depending on what kind of things you want to
right.
do. So if you're like the kind of dude that's like, whatever, I'm just going to go in and shoot people,
yeah.
you can gear towards that. Or if you want to be stealthy, you can gear up towards that. They also mentioned that there's going to be kind of like a decision type of thing where, you know, you can make good decisions or bad decisions, but that doesn't have any kind of influence on like a karma system. You know, something like, you know, the Old Republic, where it's like, all right, you're either like a Jedi or a Sith. You know, it's one way or the other. But with this, mm-hmm. there's good decisions, there's bad decisions, but it overall doesn't really necessarily tip you in any certain direction.
You know, those features, it seems to remind me a lot of what Bethesda did when they rebooted the Fallout franchise.
Yeah, I think they compared it to
he
Fallout.
Actually did, yeah.
The game, to me, it feels kind of like Fallout meets like Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, okay. That not a bad mixture either.
Might be a good play.
I just got to get used to the controls. That was the only thing that was really really bugging me were the controls that they had set up.
What bugged me is that I died right away, and then when the game reloaded for me...
It's because you suck at games.
Well, when the game reloaded, it loaded to a save state where there was no ammo left in the gun, so it was...
Yeah, there was a bad
challenge.
I found ammo from the same checkpoint.
Yeah, Gahoo found ammo. it looked like a promising title, though. The first one is known to be like one of the best games ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that this will be another best game ever, but it looks like it might be pretty good.
Well, hey, that's definitely a game that I'm looking forward to. More out there at the Square Enix booth. How about Hitman Absolution? What did you see about that?
Well, that game is not actually at their booth. It's
no?
You need an appointment. It's hidden in the back.
There's a trailer coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. We got like a private. A small room of people. Demo of the game.
A small room of many people packed.
Yeah, with no air conditioning and people sweating and smelling.
It's probably what this room smells like right now. Our live streaming command center is terribly hot and sticky in here right now.
Aside from almost having the Swedish Mafia take me out tonight, because I did try to record some material in there and we weren't supposed to record in there.
Ooh, ah!
But the demo that they played was pretty awesome, and the game looks really sweet. It doesn't come out until 2012.
Pre-alpha.
What we saw was a pre-alpha build, and it was basically the main character from Hitman.
If they didn't tell us that was pre-alpha, I would never have guessed.
He was in a library, kind of sneaking around. There were police looking for him. He was taking out police. He, like, steals one of the cops' clothes, goes into some, like, hippie hideout where yes. There's big marijuana plants and bongs and stuff. He actually picks up a bong and smashes another police officer.
No way! That's great!
You're in this, like, library, and you're sneaking around, and one of the cool things they had, and I forget what they called it, anything, but there's, like, a special kind of, like, view mode you can do where it almost kind of reminded me of, like, the detective mode in the Batman Arkham Asylum a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But another cool thing that they did with this is you can see the path of the NPCs and where they're going to stop.
Wow.
So if you do something, like this line of fire will shoot out.
Yeah, it looks
and
like
then
fire
it'll spike
on
up a little bit, like where they're going to stop. So you know, like, okay, I can either go there and meet them or I can move to avoid them.
It looks like an ability that will cost you something, so you can't use it all the time. But this was pre-alpha build, so I don't know what it was costing and what they call the ability, or if it's like some psychic ability for the guy or what it is. But
what was the other? There was a scene where after you get out of the library, you're ended up running on a rooftop trying to dodge this helicopter that's shooting at you, and then you end up in like some like hippie place,
and you can use NPCs as shields.
Yeah, you can do meat shields. And all the hippies are freaking out because it's the police helicopter, and you, like, go into the next room, and it's just filled with pot leaves and stuff. And the dude starts freaking out, so you're sneaking around in this hippie hideout, and you walk by the bathroom, and then dude's trying to, like, shove it down the toilet and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go into this room, and this dude's just, like, sitting there smoking up. And he's like, whoa, man. And so these cops, like, bust in. They're like, wait a minute, because you can disguise yourself, too.
He goes, right? Police brutality.
You knocked out a cop earlier. You took his uniform.
Yeah.
So these cops bust down the door, and they're like, how did you get in here already? And you can just pick up the bong that the dude is using right there. You just run up and smack the cop in the face.
But the hippie's response to that is, police brutality, cool.
In the helicopter, there was a part where he like jumped between buildings, and there was the rooftop he was running on. It was like with a bunch of pigeon coops and stuff. And so as he, like, jumps from the one roof to the other, there's, like, pigeons all around him. All the pigeons get, like, shot and, like, explode. But he's just like, no, I'm good.
Unfazed.
It looked like a really, really good game.
I was amazed that was a pre-alpha build.
Yeah.
If they didn't say that, I would have thought it was almost the final product. Yeah. It really looked solid.
It did. It looked really, really nice. And, I mean, the guy who was playing it, he obviously knew where he was going and what to do and everything.
Well, we probably saw a good 20 minutes. I mean, probably a good 20 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah, it was about 18 minutes or so. Yeah.
Wow.
And to be about 20.
Yeah, that's why my... it's about when they made me delete the video.
it was in Chicago, I think, right? Yeah. But it looked
really, really nice.
I've never played any Hitman games, but this one, I kind of tempted to pick this one up. It looks pretty solid.
So now let's talk about another game, Heroes of Ruin. This is a game that we've been hearing a little bit about in the run-up to E3, the 3DS title that is looking to integrate portions of social networking into the game. Were you able to get a hands-on out there? I hear it's supposed to be out there.
Yeah, yes. We did get a hands-on. They're showing that kind of up at the front of the booth.
So how does that end up playing?
Well, they only had single player, no multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a Gauntlet Legends kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a good way.
But with quest NPCs.
That's a good way to compare it.
That's what
I'm
here for.
Definitely Gauntlet.
Interesting. All the dungeons are going to be randomized. They said they're going to have DLC for it.
Excellent.
Not sure what that's going to be, since like the dungeons are randomized. I don't know. There may be new classes or something. There were two classes that we could pick from. I think one was a standard warrior class, and then there was like the gun class. I picked the gun class, which apparently was the harder one. And I played for a little bit, and then
Joel
Gahu played for a little bit, and then he died.
Quickly.
I know. I was doing fine, and then I gave it to him, and my guy died.
The 3D on it was, I thought it was okay. These other guys didn't think that they'd be able to play 3D on it like forever.
Yeah.
That's not the game.
That's the system.
It was all right. I'm sure if you have a group of friends, you can either play ad hoc or online.
The one thing they did say is that your levels as you leveled up would carry back and forth from single player to multiplayer. So in theory, if you're playing in multiplayer mode and level up, you can then switch to single player mode and play by yourself at the same level, or vice versa.
Like when Phantasy Star Online, you can play that offline or online.
Yeah.
Same kind of character. But one thing we do know, and they weren't able to really say anything, but back when they announced it, they did mention that there's going to be some kind of social networking community site thing up.
Right.
For the game eventually, that's going to offer stuff like daily quests. And allow you to communicate with other players and try and form groups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If it gets a following, it could turn out pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that conceptually it seemed pretty neat, but pigeonholing that to just the 3DS hardware, I think might be the limiting factor. Speaking of hardware, Sony's big presentation of the PlayStation Vita. Did you guys get to see any of those or get a hands on? I got to imagine that the line for checking that one is got to be out the door.
Yeah, we didn't get into any lines for anything today because we wanted to make sure we were around when we had some stuff scheduled. We did run through, by most of the booths. I did see Vita. Looks like we'll probably be able to get hopefully some hands-on with that. They had the Wii U. We walked. Mm-hmm. We saw that. They were demoing that, so we may be able to get into that. That was pretty long line for that. Also at the SE booth, we did see Dead Island.
This is a title I know nothing about. What is Dead Island?
It's a zombie game.
Oh, okay.
It looks like you're stuck on an island and there's zombies and you have to kill them.
This is, and I don't know if you're going to remember this, but the trailer for it was, and I love when people, especially with zombie stuff, when they have the guts and the balls to do something that everybody else would be way too like chicken shit to do. The trailer they released for this game is pretty much like they kill off a little girl.
Really?
It's like, and they play it backwards too. So like it starts off with her like getting thrown out a window, and the whole like, and then like people have like recreated it and done it, but it's like she's running to like her hotel room and like she gets knocked down by one of the zombies, and it like bites her leg, and her dad and her mom are like fighting the zombies off. They pull her in the room and they throw her on the bed, and they're fighting off all these zombies. And then she like wakes up and like latches onto her like dad and starts biting him, and he like tries to like, you know, grab her or whatever, and he ends up throwing her out the damn window.
Oh man.
It's crazy.
And that's brutal.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Looked like you get like a machete, you can pick up oars from a boat.
I was watching people like beat zombies with that.
There was like zombies on fire running at people and stuff.
I think you got XP. That we didn't get time to play that, unfortunately.
Does it take a first person approach, much like Left 4 Dead, or is it similar to a third person like Dead Rising?
It is an FPS.
Okay.
It's a person view. Yeah.
The vibe is way different from Left 4 Dead, because okay. Left 4 Dead, it's just kind of run through and shoot stuff.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, it's... I think there's a little more
this one, like,
skill.
They saved some guy from a car that was like being attacked, and you know, they helped him out of the car.
So some elements of survival horror then.
Yeah, more Resident Evil.
And there's more involved too, because with Left 4 Dead, it's like, okay, you're starting here. It's like Left 4 Dead is point A to point B with crap in the middle. But this one, you get XP for doing kills certain ways. It looked like one of them, you know, took a machete and knocked off a zombie's head. So, you know, I would assume you would get different, you know, amounts of XP for doing that.
Right.
Yeah, Dungeon Siege.
Dungeon Siege
3
really
was out there.
Too much.
That demo is available online now for, I think, PSN maybe for,
yeah,
for Xbox as well. I don't know.
It's out for on PSN right now, I think.
That's slated to come out fairly soon.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demo is up. I saw a message today for that.
So didn't get a whole lot of time with Dungeon Siege 3 then?
No, we didn't really look at it too much.
They do have their big, huge, ridiculous screen. They're playing a bunch of trailers. Tomb Raider looks freaking gorgeous on that thing.
I have to imagine. Yeah,
the trailer's up on our site.
Looking at it play, and it's just, oh, I really wish that was out on the floor this year.
What was kind of neat is when you were over at the Sony booth, they had 13-2 playable there also, and they had Deus Ex playable at the Sony booth also. So
that's great.
Yeah, so it's spread around a bit for the Square Enix titles, which was kind of cool. The Sony booth also had some games in 3D.
Yeah,
they had a wall of 3D.
Sonic Generations, there was the new Silent Hill, which I don't think is optimized because it looked a little laggy.
Yeah, it was, the frame rate on it was pretty poor.
Green Lantern, Captain America.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, yeah. I didn't notice anything else in 3D. There's kind of in the middle of their booth, they have a section set up with, it looked like Uncharted 3 multiplayer. It looks like they were giving out shirts, so I'm probably going to head back there at some point.
Gotta get the swag.
That wasn't in 3D, I don't think.
Yeah, swag. Some kid stopped me randomly and was like, hey, where do I get t-shirts? I don't know, man. Yeah. He was like, there's no t-shirts anywhere. I need t-shirts.
They also had Twisted Metal at the E3 Sony booth as well. We also walked by Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. We walked by Assassin's Creed Revelations, Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
I think Ghost Recon Future Soldier, they had a couple things set up for that.
The new Nintendo controller.
That was the first time I actually saw it. I actually saw it in person.
It's big.
And I saw it, and I was like,
it's big.
I was like, what is that?
It's big.
I don't.
Did I say it's big?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Well, you know, you saw that South Park episode about Japanese men and their small. It's like an iPad with like Wiimotes on the end. I don't.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like from the video.
It looks exactly like the Wii.
Yeah, the console itself looks like a Wii, but like a little tiny bit small. Different.
It's like a round button instead of like a square one.
It almost looks identical. And who knows, maybe that'll change by the time it's actually released.
I'm really, honestly, at this point, I'm really worried for Nintendo because they're kind of getting their asses handed to them with 3DS. Like, the PSP was outselling 3DS in Japan mm-hmm. at one point, and now they're at the Wii. First off, the Wii U is the stupidest name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And the controller, it just, it feels weird. Like, I shouldn't say it feels weird because I haven't touched it or anything, but it just looking at it, like, yeah, I know what it was. I kind of get the idea of what it's supposed to do, but just something of that size, it feels wrong.
The way they've got it set up at their booth is it looks like they have, you wait in line and they've got different stations for the Wii U. So one station is like the shield hold where you hold the controller up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
parallel to the TV, so like you're watching TV but you're also watching your remote. Then they had another one that was like the HD experience, and they had a Zelda game up that was in HD, which looked pretty sharp, and they had a bunch more down the row that we couldn't see, but it looked like each station was like demoing a different
aspect
of, yeah, of the new system.
Well, very, you know, that's really interesting, and I'll be very interested to hear how the controller actually feels if you get a hands-on demo of it. Yeah. You know, just being so large, and I have to imagine the weight would also be an issue. It would just be kind of a pain in the ass to just keep it held up in front of you like that.
Hey, we saw the end of the line, and it was wrapped around the booth.
Yeah,
well, direction.
When we got to the line, it said the line was closed because it probably had a two-hour wait, and the show was going to be over by then.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The other thing that's crazy about it is I don't understand how you could play a normal game with it. Like, it's one thing the way they're showing it. Yeah, if I need to block arrows and use it as a shield, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't imagine playing, you know, Donkey Kong, you know.
It's funny because, like, with this, there's the potential that Nintendo won't get shitty ports of blockbuster games now, like Call of Duty and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, they took, like, the original Xbox controller, like, that huge one that nobody liked, and put a screen in the middle of it. It's bigger than that controller. I don't get it.
But the video on
the controller...
The controller's
bigger than the damn console, all right?
The video on the controller looked really sharp, too.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that it would. Now, the big thing, and I do want to remind listeners, because this was kind of a point of confusion earlier, that there is a whole new set of software for the Wii U. You have to get... a whole new set of hardware for the Wii U. And with it, it seems like Nintendo is trying to bring their system, their hardware, up to par and up to spec to compete with the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. And you get this, you know, you get this gigantic tablet remote on top of it, too. And again, the price point, that's going to be another huge deal when we hear about this.
The price point Did they announce a price point?
They did not. No, they did not announce any kind of price point for the new Wii U.
It looks like it'll probably be affordable, like the Wii or Nintendo consoles traditionally are. Maybe extra game pads might be a little bit of a price.
That's my worry.
Because you've got... That's an entire tablet. And what does an iPad cost these days? Like $200? $300?
Yeah. When you looked at the games that they had demoing, though, they were all still very cartoony. The best one that you saw was Zelda.
Well, that's Nintendo style, though.
But there was this other game where it looked like, you know, a cartoony kind of pirate ship kind of thing going on. And, I mean, none of it was, like, showing you, like, Battlefield 3 crazy graphics. Very cartoony. It was high def, but it was still very cartoony.
Sure. Well, there were some points during the Nintendo conference, and in fact, one point when one of the heads of EA came out and said how excited they were to be able to work with this new kind of innovative hardware. So I do think that it has attracted the attention of more third-party developers to Nintendo, and it's definitely going to drive third-party development on the system, especially, again, with the specific system specs coming up to par with systems like the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. Although it does kind of seem like they're coming a little bit too late with the HD capabilities with the Wii U. I wouldn't be surprised if in maybe 2 years we see a new hardware announcement in terms of a console from Microsoft or Sony themselves.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm glad that Nintendo,
and they're going to have even bigger game pads with bigger screens.
If it's any indication with Microsoft going the Kinect route and Sony going the Move route, we may see some more gimmicky stuff like that.
I got a feeling that if the next console announcement we're going to see will probably be Xbox.
I would imagine if history has taught us anything.
I'm glad that Nintendo kind of finally is like, maybe we should make an HD console. Because this is a company, like, back, you know, around the time of the first Xbox, they're like, online gaming's a fad, whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, that's kind of, that is gaming today, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they need third-party support. And when they announced the 3DS, they on the screen, they pretty much listed, like, every damn developer, you know, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they're going to support it. And then it launched with, like, the crappy, like, dinosaur fights, 3D or some crap.
Yeah.
And that suffered.
Yeah, where's the Metal Gear game that they were talking about last year?
There still needs to be Metal Gear Solid.
Did that not come out?
No, Metal Gear Solid.
No word about that either out at E3 throughout all the conferences either.
Last year.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needed to be out for 3DS that just isn't out. And I think we're getting Zelda next week for 3DS, but I don't know if that's going to save it.
It looks like they have two new Zelda titles coming up, too. The one that they were demoing last
Skyward
year.
Skyward Sword for the Wii.
Yeah.
Right. And then there was a Wii U that they had.
That might have just been a buffed up version of Skyward Sword for the demo, would be my guess. But I don't know. Yeah, they need third-party support. It's really bad. There's some companies that have come out and said, yeah, we've pretty much given up on the Wii. There's nothing worse than having, like, it wasn't Ubisoft. I think it might have been, like, EA or something. One of those bigger guys are pretty much like, dude, forget the Wii. Like, we're done with this crap.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure that was an EA quote, because one of the things that the head of EA came out and said was, I've said some disingenuous things about the Wii in the past, but this console changes all of that. And whatever you need to bring in the third-party developers, more power to them.
I can see this Wii U being really good for, like, Madden, though. Right? If you can choose your plays, right, no longer, your plays don't have to be on the screen for the other person to see. Yeah. You can use this, you know...
Multiplayer.
This massive great. Pad to, like, choose things.
It's funny, because the controller would be awesome for multiplayer things. Like, I mean, I'm sure we've all played, like, GoldenEye, and people are, like, looking at your screen, and they know where you are.
Yeah.
But the downside with that is, with these controllers, that shit's going to cost even more money, because you're going to buy more controllers. Those are probably going to be at least $100.
Speaking of Madden, they had a Madden game on the iPad 2, which looked really nice.
Wow. You know, I'm consistently more and more surprised and pleasantly so by the amount of mobile games that are coming out that look really stellar on both smartphones and tablets, too.
There was one we saw. It was like a helicopter, little toy helicopter thing, and it had a camera. You would use it with like an iPod or an iPad, and it was like augmented reality where you like shoot stuff.
No kidding.
There are these drones that you could like fly with your Android phone or your iPhone or your iPad, and you get some kind of camera view so you can see it, and then you can like shoot down other drones that other people are flying around.
But it's all augmented reality.
Right. But it's all augmented reality.
It was
reality.
The weirdest booth. We're like walking by and there's like these little
They had like things. A giant net around it so the things like didn't fly
beach.
Away.
It was like a beach. And there's like just these like two little like helicopter things just kind of hovering around and there's like two
base.
Girls sitting in the middle. Like, what is this?
Wow.
It looked like it might be fun.
No, it didn't. It's the one thing.
Says the guy from New York with no room to play.
It's like
the toy that the 7-year-old is going to want for Christmas. Yeah, play with it once and then forget about it.
You can get one of those drones without having it, you know, tied to like some augmented reality game where you can shoot down some other drone.
Yeah.
They're trying something new.
DOA.
It's something new.
You know what? Last time someone tried something new, Nintendo came out with the 3DS and the Wii U. So.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick the Wii U over that any day.
We did catch a few minutes of people playing Terra, which we have a demo for tomorrow, I think.
It actually looked pretty solid. Like it looks pretty good.
Now, what is Terra? I haven't heard of this.
It's an MMO.
It's a new MMO that's coming out.
I want to say it's come over from a Korean thing.
Oh, okay.
We had it Thursday. We had the demo Thursday.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
It looked good. The interface looked pretty solid. It played pretty fluidly.
Yeah.
For
lack of a better phrase, it looks like it plays better than Final Fantasy XIV. Right.
It's more of an action-based kind of a system, I think.
Well, that's really exciting. I want to hear more about that. But tell me, I don't want to keep you guys on too much longer. I know you guys have write-ups and sleep to catch up on. But what are you looking forward to for tomorrow's E3?
Poker.
I'm looking forward to telling Danny Man and Gahoo to go do all the interviews and shit, because I'm going to go win myself an Uncharted 3 shirt. I actually ran into a friend of mine, Mog, who was on my link shelf on Carby for a while.
And
comes up, he's like, "What's going on?" He's like, he's got a bag. I'm like, "Oh, what do you guys, dude, I got like this Uncharted shirt." I'm like, "I hate you."
Yeah, it's
that was like one of the first things we walked by. It was like the Sony booth, and I'm like, "They're giving away shirts."
Tomorrow we have a Wakfu demo where we will, one of the developers will be there along with Franco from Square Enix. We have Nexon, not sure what.
They had a Dragon Nest.
And then
that was an action.
Another action kind of thing.
Yeah.
We walked by.
Yeah. It looked cute. and then we've got 505 Games. I'm not sure.
They're coming out with, I think last week they announced they're doing two games. At least that I know of right now for PS3, it's a game and movie bundle, because you can do that with a Blu-ray disc. Because there's that.
Oh, right, right.
They were doing a game movie bundle for Top Gun and Days of Thunder.
So we have those lined up for tomorrow, and then whatever else we can wait in line for and check out.
I'm hoping at some point. I don't know if they had Arkham City playable or not. I'm hoping to get some hands on with that.
Yeah.
I want to get hands on with the new Resident Evil. Uncharted 3 multiplayer, so hopefully I can get write-ups up for those. Those are the ones that I'm definitely going to be trying to gun for.
It still doesn't look like any Star Wars Old Republic playable anything. Just flyers and stuff. Nothing.
I've heard different. I actually heard that there has been some Old Republic playable content. It might be behind closed doors, but at least GameSpot has been reporting that that there have been some higher level content that they've been able to demo out there.
Might have to check that.
Yeah, we'll check back again tomorrow. But walking by their booth,
that booth was in the corner too, and we only saw the front. Maybe there was something else on the side there. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely see, because that's going to be. I know that there's a new trailer. John DiMaggio does one of the voices, the voice of Bender from Futurama. You know, I don't know if that's a dated demo or a trailer or not, but definitely an impressive showing there.
They had a new trailer come out, but a lot of it consisted of footage from older trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Problem that you know, and don't get me wrong, the trailers look freaking great. But they're all CG and show nothing of gameplay.
Right.
Yeah. No. That is true. Yeah. There is no gameplay in this new trailer. So the things like that definitely remain to be seen here. So thanks, guys. Was there anything else that you wanted to hear add here at the end before I let you go?
Getting man smells.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah. The new Android phone was there. That's got the PlayStation certified.
Excellent. Excellent.
The Xperia. We saw they got a little section set up for Minecraft.
And T-Mobile's got a booth with a new G2X phone that's supposed to be geared for gaming. So
despite the fact that T-Mobile service was not good at the...
T-Mobile, T-Mobile and my 4G was not working there. I meant to ask them about that. They've got a new version of the G2 phone coming out that's supposed to be geared for gaming as well. So I don't think it's got any PlayStation certifications for it or anything, but they did have games demoing on it.
Well, still very, very exciting announcements. And again, I do want to thank you guys for joining us this evening to give us a little bit of a preview as to what Square Enix has coming up in their future, as well as a lot of the exhibits out there at E3. So thanks again, Ganyman, Gahu, and FusionX for joining me this evening to wrap up day two of our live E3 coverage. Check out our website at GamerEscape.com. Follow us on Twitter at Gamer Escape or Radio ESC. That works too. We'll be back tomorrow with more E3 coverage from Gamer Escape.